Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Israel Pesei Clifton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua Insight to the Daf series. Tonight's Daf is Meseches Brachos Daf Hei. The topic is Kriya Shema Lamita, the key to sweet dreams. Our Gemara introduces the halacha of Kriya Shema Lamita with the following statement from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Gemara reads, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, even though a person recited Shema earlier in the evening when he was davening in shul, mitzvah likroso al mitaso. There is a mitzvah to read it on his bed. And there's actually a machlokas rishon. Does that mean he has to be actually in bed? Or does it mean just, you know, before he goes to sleep? Continuing the theme of this halacha, Amar Rabbi Yossi adds, Mikra, where do we have a pasuk that hints to this mitzvah of saying Kriya Shema before, or this halacha of saying Kriya Shema before one goes to sleep? So we have the following pasuk. The pasuk reads, Rigzu v'al techta'u, tremble and don't sin. Imru bilvavchem, al mishkavchem, say to your heart upon your bed, v'domu selah, and be still selah. And this is misunderstood to mean, recite Shema, that where it's written, Aluvavchem, right by your bed, and afterwards you should be still and you should be sleeping. The Gemara then goes on to qualify this halacha of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi with the following machlokas. Amar Rav Nachman im Talmud Chacham hu ain't sarach. If a person is a Talmud Chacham, he's not required to recite Kriya Shema Lamita. Amar Abaye says, Av Talmud Chacham ibayle lememer chat psuka derachmi. Even if he's a Talmud Chacham, while he might not be required to recite Kriya Shema Lamita, nonetheless, he still needs to add in at least one pasuk that connotes mercy. There's a merciful theme. Kigon, for example, Biyadcha afkid ruchi, in your hand I am trusting my spirit. Padiso si Hashem kelemes. Hashem, you have redeemed me, the God of truth. Fine. So this is what the Gemara has. We have the halach of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi to recite Kriya Shema Lamita. We have the pasuk that Rabbi Yossi supports it. And the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Abaye as to whether one has to say it if he's a Talmud Chacham or not. Basic question one needs to ask is when analyzing the Gemara is why does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi require one to recite Shema again before he goes to sleep? If he already said it in shul, he should be Yotzei. And if we aren't in the practice or after all, I'm sorry, if he already said it in shul. After all, we're not in the practice of doing mitzvos again for no reason. Now, while there might not be a technical problem of Baal Tosef over here, because worse comes to worse, if he was already Yotzei Shema and he recited again, he still gets a keem in the midst of Talmud Torah, but still, we're not in the practice of doing mitzvos more than once. So one possible suggestion is based upon Rashi on Daf Beis. Rashi at the start of the Perek says the following, Im kein loma koreinu so beveis hakinesis. If, in fact, as the Mishnah tells us the zman to recite Shema is from Tzeis HaKochavim, or as the Mishnah writes it, Bishar Shekohanim Nichnasim Lachol B'Trum Masan. So then Rashi wants to know, then why do we recite Shema in Shul if they're going to be davening before Tzeis HaKochavim? During Rashi's time, the practice was to daven before Tzeis HaKochavim. This happens to be the practice in many of our shuls as well too. So what does Rashi say? In Achanami, you're right, we're not being Yotzei Kriya Shema. However, the reason we're doing it is Kedei Lamo B'Tfila Mitok Devei Torah. That one should approach Tfila, or Davening Shemona Esrei, after he had learned Torah. In other words, we want to put ourselves in the proper mindset when one's going to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to ask for his needs. Learn Torah. By learning Torah, that will put you in the proper mindset of seriousness and understanding Hashem, understanding the greatness of Hashem, before you ask for your needs. So if that's the case, fine. V'achitanya b'braisa b'brachos Yerushalmi, it says in the Braisa, brought down in Yerushalmi brachos, u'lefichach, and therefore, chol v'aleinu likrosa mishatevshach, because when you're reciting Shema and Shul, you're doing it before the prescribed Zman, therefore one has to repeat it in order to be Yotzei the mitzvah. For according to Rashi, the reason we're saying Shema earlier is not really a din in Kriya Shema, but it's a din in Tefillah. It's a din that your tefillah should be with the perspective of Torah learning before. And the Ron Rashi gets the following: Ubekriyas Parsha Rishona Sha'adam Kore Al Mitasu Yatsa. By reciting the first parsha of Shema earlier, one is fulfilled his obligation. So Rashi's conclusion is that since one davens before Teis Kocha Adam recites Shema earlier than the prescribed time to precede words of Tefillah with the words of Torah, it stands that one's required to recite Shema after nightfall to fulfill the mitzvah. Rashi tells us that this is practically fulfilled when one recites Kriya Shema Lamita. So one can ask, however, that this is being the reason Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. In other words, why would Rabbi Shimon ben Levi say that this is the reason? It doesn't necessarily fit in. And the reason why this might not fit in is from the Machlokas that's brought down later on in the Gemara. The Gemara, as we said above, mentions that Rav Nachman and Rav Abayi disagree as to whether a Talmud Chacham is required to recite Kriya Shema Lamita or not. So now, if the purpose of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi is, as Rashi brings down, is to be Yotzi in the midst of Kriya Shema, why should there be a Havamina to say that a Talmud Chacham is Potter? Just because he's a Talmud Chacham, he should be Potter from the mitzvah? We never see that the Torah discriminates between a Talmud Chacham and an Am Haaretz as far as mitzvahs are concerned. Furthermore, if one looked at the statement of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi as a requirement to simply be Yotzi the mitzvah, why wouldn't the Gemara then just quote the Pasuk of Vishach B'chav Kamecha? The Pasuk where we learn the mitzvah of Shema, and using instead the Pasuk of Rigzu V'al Techato, which comes from Sefer Tehillim. So rather, the first important idea to point out when analyzing the Halacha Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is that we're speaking about a separate Chiyuv, different from what Rashi was speaking about. Rashi was speaking about a Chiyuv to repeat Shema before one goes to sleep, when one had not been Yotzi the Mitzvah before. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is saying that there's an additional Chiyuv to repeat Shema before one goes to sleep, and that's in addition to what he said during earlier to be Yotzi the Mitzvah of Kriya Shema. And a way to prove this comes from Rashi himself. After all, here is Rashi's explanation of the Pasuk of Rigzu V'al Techatal. Rashi says, what does it mean, Imru Bilvavchem? So Rashi says, Imru Bilvavchem is Imru Mashekasuv Alevavecha. See the paragraph which has the words Alevavecha, in other words, Shema. Al Mishkavchem, Shenamar B'shach Becha, the one that has the words B'shach Becha of Kumecha. And Vidomu, and then, be silent B'shena Acharka, be silent with sleep afterwards. Rashi goes on to show that there are two allusions to Kriya Shema in this Pasuk. Imru Bilvavchem and Al Mishkavchem. Why is there a need for Rashi to bring down both the Ramazim? Shouldn't one be sufficient? So explains the Sefer Kedusha Bracha brought down in the back of the Misifta that Rashi is explaining that the Pasuk serves as a hint to two situations. A, when the person did not say Shema earlier, and B, when the person said Shema earlier. In other words, Rashi is telling us two times that Shema is said by Alamita. One when you were Yotze, and one when you were not Yotze. And had Rashi not brought down both, one would have inferred from the Pasuk Al Mishkavchem that the best time to be Yotze Shema and be Mekayim Ubishach Becha of Kumecha is literally at Zman Shechiva. But from the fact that Rashi brings down both Psukim and uses allusions to both, it explains that both are an allusion to Kriya Shema. This is telling us that we're adding into the component of saying Shema even when one's been Yotzi already. This now being said, that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is teaching us a new chiyuv to repeat Shema before he goes to sleep, one has to ask, why is this chiyuv here? What's the purpose of this second recitation of Shema? Perhaps it be a machlokas that's brought down amongst many of the Rishonim. The machlokas actually even dates back to the time of the Gaonim. The first is brought down by many Tosos on Daf Beis. Tosos on the first Tosos on the Masechta says the following: the ode, the Kriya Shema Samach Lamita Eino Ela Bishvil Hamazikin. Kriya Shema Lamita is to go ahead and prevent one from the Mazikin. We know our Chachamim tell us that when one goes to sleep, it's actually a precarious time. When the Shema goes up to Shemaim, it's being judged whether a person should be given another day or not. But there also happen to be many mazikin or spiritual forces that are there to harm a person's body and a person's neshama, and they're most effective at night. And what Tosus is telling us, the din of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, is that you want to know how to protect yourself from these harmful mazikin, say Shema, and that will protect you. That's the shita of Tosos. The Gaonim have a different shita. Their shita is a little bit more, I guess we would call, a nigla reason as opposed to a nista reason. And their reason is Kadesh Shayomer Divrei Torah Samach Lemitaso, that one should recite words of Torah before he goes to sleep. V'yelech Lishon Mitoch Divrei Torah. One should go to sleep with words of Torah. Again, we always speak about HaKol Holech Achar Asof. Everything goes and follows the conclusion. Imagine this, a person comes and they go out to a fancy restaurant. They have a wonderful appetizer, a terrific main course, but the dessert falls short. They're going to be walking away from the restaurant not so happy. Think about a person on Yom Kippur. They daven a beautiful Ma'ariv, Shacharis, Musaf, and Mincha, but in Elul they fall flat. They're also going to be coming away from Yom Kippur not the same. Let's look at our days. A person works very hard throughout the day, trying to do mitzvos, trying to do the right thing, trying to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then at the end of the day, he stumbles. That's going to leave a bad taste in one's mouth. By reciting Shema at the end of the day, that's a way for a person's day to have a great ending. And a great ending of a day will lead to already a good start for the next day. The Marsha writes that what's interesting now is that according to both of these reasons, we could explain why a Talmud Chacham would not be required to say Shema or according to Rav Nachman. The Marsha writes, according to the Man D'Yomer that says it's because of Shmira, it's unnecessary. What's the reason? It says, Af Talmud Chacham miboyle lemeimer de Torasso vade magino. That the reason why a Talmud Chacham should not have to say it is because his Torah is certainly going to protect him kimo parshas kriya Shema. D'lahagin shari. So the Marsha says, again, his Torah is going to protect him, so he doesn't have to worry about the mazikin. Rashi on Daf Hey explains that according to the Man D'Yomer, says Kriya Shema is to avail one who goes to sleep with the words of Torah on his mind. He'll say, "V'im Talmud Chacham who sharagil me mishnaso lachzor agirsoso talmid dayo bechach." If it's a Talmud Chacham who normally reviews his learning, and again, you have to understand that reviewing learning was even more common at that time than here. For the simple reason that we have Sfarim, they don't. It was a necessity. And somebody was a Talmud Chacham, it's not because he understands a lot of Torah, not because he's learned a lot of Torah, but also because he's memorized a lot of Torah. And the reason, or at least the practical reason, is because there was nothing written down. So such a person who's busy learning and constantly reviewing Torah, he's not going to need to say Shema because he's already involved in learning. But like everything else, just to simply say the machlokas is nizikin, masushmir mina mazikin, or because it's to go from Torah to sleeping, without a nafkamina between the two, it just becomes a machlokas in semantics, a machlokas in philosophy. What would be a practical difference between the two reasons? So I wanted to offer three nafkaminas that I saw. The first is a bracha. There are shitos brought down by the Gaonim that are mentioned in the Rishonim, such as the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah on Daf Beis, that one should make a bracha on Kriya Shema Lamita. And it's interesting that there are different formulations of this bracha. Of course, we don't happen to practice it, but that's something else. The question is, depending on your reason for why we have this Kriya Shema Lamita, that will depend if it's even shayach or applicable to even assert a havamina of reciting a bracha. What do I mean? If you want to say the reason is to prevent the mazikin from damaging a person, there's not going to be a bracha because we don't make a bracha on the removal of negative things. However, if there is a mitzvah aspect of learning Torah before one sleeps, one could argue a bracha is appropriate. As one can say, the learning before sleeping is a way to transform sleeping into avoda, bridging the learning from the night before to the learning that's going on in the morning. So while we don't necessarily recite bracha because Kriya Shema Lamita is a reshus, the svara to even suggest it only works according to the Man D'Yomer. It's because of Limud HaTorah. Second nafka mina would be the bracha of Hamapil. We know that there's a halacha that once recites the bracha of Hamapil before one goes to sleep. And Hamapil is clearly a bracha that's designed, that was instituted, right? All these things we're looking in terms of keeping a person safe during the night. Shemir from the mazikin. So that bracha was instituted for that purpose. We also know that one's not allowed to speak words after hamapil. When one says hamapil, one has to sleep. So the shayla goes like this. Where is Shema placed in reference to hamapil? Do we say Shema before hamapil? Or do we say hamapil after Shema? Or do we say Shema after hamapil? So according to the Man D'Yomer, that it's because of Limud Torah, you have to put Shema before hamapil. And the reason being that once you say hamapil, you're not allowed to say anything, even words of Torah. But if you're going to say that the whole Kriya Shema Lamita is coming because of why? Shmir Mena Mazikin. So then even in this case, it's Me'ain Hamapil. It's considering, it's continuing the theme of Hamapil. And one would certainly be allowed to recite it after Shema. And in fact, many of the Siddurim, and I believe that's a common practice, is to recite Shema after Hamapil. The final reason, Nafkamina, would be women. Do women have to recite Kriya Shema Lamita? So let's think. If the reason is because of Limud Torah, women are parted from Talmud Torah. So because they're parted from Talmud Torah, they should be parted from Kriya Shema Lamita. But if you could say the reason is because of the Mazikin, well, the Mazikin don't discriminate. And because the Mazikin don't must discriminate, so women also need this particular Shmira, so they would be obligated. Either way you look at it, Kriya Shema Lamita is a way of transforming our biological act of sleeping into a form of Avodas Hashem. A chance to, A, realize and actualize the fact that while we need to sleep, we're really working on our bitachon, putting our trust in Hashem, that Hashem is going to do what's best for us and give us another day. And also, bridging the previous day with this day, to continue making each day a continuous step in total avodas Hashem and growth to our potential. Have a wonderful week.